to Between Heaven and Earth, an internet radio talk show where we help you connect spirit and divine guidance. Lisa Kay, your host, brings you shows that can enhance and transform your life with tips and new ideas for more happiness, abundance, and better relationships. Lisa is an expert on intuition and can show you how to strengthen your inner guidance to empower yourself. Each show is positive and uplifting to inspire your day. Her guest speakers are specialists on self-help, positive thinking, spirituality, and conscious living. Be the best that you can be with Between Heaven and Earth, Conscious Living for Your Soul.
Well, angel blessings to everyone. Our show today is called The Healing Power of Crystals and Gemstones. Do you love crystals? Crystals have been used since the dawn of human history for healing and protection. The ancient Egyptians and Sumerians used crystals, precious and semi-precious stones, both as jewelry and as mystical tools. When modern science came along, crystals fell into the realm of geology. But strangely enough, the science supports the healing power of crystals. Crystals have the ability to transform you, heal you, and shift your entire being. Join us as we talk today to crystal expert and vibrational healer, Naisha Asayan, who is a teacher and author of the best-selling and well-known definitive guide on crystals, the Book of Stones. Naisha Asayan is an internationally acclaimed author and teacher on the subjects of vibrational medicine, the healing power of crystals and minerals, and spiritual growth. She is director of the Crystallis Institute for Personal and Planetary Transformation in Sedona, Arizona. Naisha is co-author of the best-selling Book of Stones, Who They Are and What They Teach. She is the creator of the Crystal Ally Cards and author of the Infinite Abundance Program, a 30-day course in healing abundance consciousness. She is also the creator of the patent-pending Socratic Subliminal Technology. She's also developed two vibrational healing modalities, the Primus Activation Healing Technique, which utilizes the energetic power of the human heart, and Crystal Resonance Therapy, which utilizes the healing power of crystals and minerals. Naisha offers rigorous and transformative training in vibrational healing and personal spiritual growth through Crystallis Institute's online programs and through personal and one-on-one and group training in Sedona. Welcome, Naisha. How are you?
Thank you, Lisa. I'm doing wonderfully well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm going through some technical interesting things here. It's so hopefully we're all okay. I think we're okay. So it's always an adventure when you're live. So we're live. I think we're all okay. You're here. The radio seems to be on the air. So we're good. We've known each other for a while. And just full disclosure for everyone, I have gone through Naisha's crystal resonance therapy training, which I thought was absolutely phenomenal. And I learned so much, not just about crystals, but also about energy. I mean, I think it was one of the things that opened me up even more to energy and working with it and sensing it and feeling it. And it just basically opened my whole world up energetically, and also, you know, it's a wonderful ability I have and technique and to be able to help other people with the crystal therapy. So I wanted to ask you a couple things. First of all, you've talked a lot about in your bio vibrational healing. So I thought we'd start there first. And could you explain to us what vibrational healing is?
Yeah, well, vibrational healing is a term that encompasses a healing modality that relies upon the transmission of energy between people. And so that can be anything from Reiki to EFT to, you know, laying on of hands to laying on of stones. But basically it is the use of energy. And the problem with that term is that no one really defines very well, you know, which energy they're talking about. But in my research, I've come to understand that one of the primary types of energy that is involved in vibrational healing is electromagnetic energy, or light, as most people are aware mm-hmm. of it. And also, there may be other types of energy, but they're not able to be quantified or haven't been identified yet. So, so that transmission of energy between the person who is doing the healing work, who is the healing facilitator, and the person who is receiving the energy is vibrational healing.
Mm. So, I don't think, since vibrational healing seems to be something that's not in the mainstream, what is it that vibrational healing can do for you if you're not using it or if you haven't experienced it? How does it differ from, say, going to the doctor and getting an antibiotic?
Yeah, it differs pretty radically. The main way that it differs is that most vibrational healing, when it is consciously and ethically done, is about training the person to heal themselves. And that may be offering them tools or understanding or learning in order to heal themselves. Secondly, the actual transmission of energy is usually done through touch or even through the energy field or electromagnetic field of the body. And in this day and age, if you think about how infrequently we are touched, there is a magical process that happens in the nervous system and in the brain when humans touch. And so a lot of vibrational therapies employ hands-on healing and touch therapy, and that automatically begins stimulating things like stress relief in the body, the release of positive hormones such as oxytocin in the body, which is the love hormone that helps us to feel expansive and in love and relaxed, on some of the stress hormones, such as adrenaline and cortisol. So the main effects that people can expect are immediate relaxation, number one. Once that relaxation happens, there's a switch that occurs in the nervous system and brain that actually changes our biochemistry, and that can stimulate everything from physical healing in the human body to emotional healing, release of past emotional traumas.
Wow, so you can't get that from an antibiotic.
No, you really can't. I mean, you know, mainstream medicine is very important if your arm falls off or if you, you know, pick up a plague.
Or if you have a bacterial infection.
Yes, exactly. But for actual ongoing increasing wellness and self-knowledge and balance, vibrational healing is a very critical underlying support for any type of medical endeavor.
Yeah,
sure.
It seems like it's that missing piece that we could use in so many things that you mentioned. It's emotional and the touch, obviously. Even when you go to the doctor, they're not really touching you in that way, but in the healing way, they're more for diagnostic reasons. So how does vibrational healing and crystals go together?
Well, crystals are probably one of the most important vibrational healing tools that we can use. Because
why is that?
I had mentioned earlier how we have a passover of electromagnetic energy between healing. And electromagnetic energy is light, but it encompasses the entire spectrum from radio up to visible light, microwave radiation, x-rays, and gamma radiation. So that whole spectrum is light energy. Humans are uniquely designed to receive and process electromagnetic energy. That's what your entire nervous system and brain does. Every single thing that you experience, a hallucination generated by electrical synapses in the brain in response to electrical impulses through either the nervous system or, we now know, through the heart itself.
So the brain and the heart and our nervous system is using that electromagnetic impulses or phenomena?
Yeah, well, light carries information. Mm-hmm. And so that's why our brain receives that light and processes it, interprets it, and then responds to it physically, biochemically, and then through things
right,
like...
Right, this vibration of... Now, I'm thinking also crystals that people are probably thinking, I never see light come out of a crystal. In this case, it's a spectrum of light that we can see and not see. Right?
Yeah, crystals are electromagnetic oscillators, and that means that they vibrate with light. That's the basic phrase that you can think of. And when most people think of light, it's true, they think of visible light and what you can see with your eyes. But that is such a tiny part of the actual electromagnetic spectrum. In fact, if you the spectrum of light as a strip of film that stretched between Los Angeles and San Francisco, which is like 370 miles, only one single frame on that entire 370-mile strip of film would be the visible part of the spectrum.
Really? So, oh, I love that visual. That's amazing.
It's a very tiny fraction what we can actually see, but that doesn't mean that we don't respond to very much do, and our nervous system and brain receive that energy.
We're probably not even aware of it, right?
No, we're not.
And so where would, in that spectrum of 3,000 miles, where do the crystal energies fall into play?
Well, crystals have a pretty broad spectrum of energy. If you think of the Earth itself as the place from which all crystals come, obviously, but different crystals have different frequencies that they can vibrate with. And that is true of every single crystal. So you can't say, like, all amethyst vibrates at this frequency. That's nonsensical, because every single crystal, because of its different size, its different chemical composition, the way that it grows, carries a different frequency. Mostly that is going to go radio range, which is a lower frequency range. And also, of course, we have the color, but color is an extremely unimportant part of the crystal's actual healing energy. And we have stones as well, minerals that also release higher frequency energies, such as uranium, you know, which we use for nuclear weapons.
So I think it's so interesting between crystals and minerals, and, you know, you go through the science, you start to understand how special crystals are, but also what the differences with you know, rocks and stones. And so I wanted to get into that and really get into this juicy science and how it affects us as humans and healing. So we're going to take a break right now, and we'll come back with Naisha Asayan.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on the Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
And we're back. I'm Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio, Conscious Living for Your Soul. And we are talking to Naisha Asayan, who is a amazing crystal expert, and she's talking to us about how you can use crystals to heal. And crystals and gemstones and, I guess, rocks and minerals. So, Naisha, what is the difference between, say, a rock you pick up off the street and a crystal? Or what's the difference?
Well, minerals, crystals, and rocks, and both crystals and rocks are minerals. So minerals are the purest form. Crystals are a pure form of mineral. So in other words, a crystal will be homogeneous throughout. It has the same chemical elements throughout its body, and that's what makes it a crystal. And it will have geometric facets that are an expression of its internal crystalline structure. So I know that sounds complicated, but if you can think of a crystal being, you know, it grows in that beautiful. So a rock is
it grows
actually,
in that. You just cut out for a minute. It grows in that beautiful
terminated crystalline form.
Right, like the like a quartz crystal, where people know the crystal point, the quartz point, is
right,
an example.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that is a representation of the fact that it's crystalline in its internal structure. So every tiny base unit in that crystal also has that same hexagonal, in the case of quartz, form. In the case of a rock is actually an amalgam of different minerals, and it is not necessarily crystalline, doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily have a coherent internal form, but it may contain crystals, and it may contain So, for instance, here in Sedona, we've got a lot of the red rock, you know, which is sandstone. So that is kind of a mix of different minerals, with the iron to color it red and the you know, silicon dioxide from the sand. So you can think of a rock as kind of a mixed dish, whereas a crystal is just a single
pure
type.
And homogeneous. Yeah. So do you think that, therefore, you just mentioned the stones in Sedona, and most of us are, and if you don't know, Sedona is an amazing place in terms of energy, and metaphysical energy. Do you think the knowing this knowledge about minerals and sand and stones, do you think there's something particular about the stones or the minerals in Sedona that...
Well, I think there's a combination of factors. Every single place on the planet has different minerals underneath the surface, and it certainly determines the energy of the place. If you're in an area with a lot of granite, for instance, you know, granite has a lot of different minerals in it, quartz and, you know, dendrite and lots of different things can be in granite. Mm-hmm. But granite is known to be an amplifier of EMFs, and so you get a lot of paranormal activity in areas with lots of granite.
Oh,
Sedona doesn't have granite. Yeah. Sedona doesn't have granite. We have different types of stone, but there are also other factors here, you know, both the magnet in the soil. The magnetic energy, because there's so much iron here in the soil.
Okay, that makes sense, sure.
And iron is magnetically susceptible, and it's called ferromagnetic, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those aspects of the actual ground that you're standing on, having different minerals in it. And I really encourage people, in fact, to collect stones from where they are, even if it just looks like, you know, just a rock, that doesn't mean it doesn't have healing properties. It very much does have healing properties. And oftentimes by connecting with the rocks where you are, you're able to connect more fully with the earth, which can also help to reset some of the trauma our bodies get from overexposure to false electromagnetic fields.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Well, you were saying, you know, all these crystals, they are in the stones and the rocks, like quartz is sand, right? Or sand is quartz, made up of quartz. And iron, we have iron in our bodies as well, right? Mm-hmm. That helps our blood hold on to the oxygen. So could you talk about the minerals that are in our bodies? Do they have any relation to the crystals and the stones?
Yeah, absolutely. Your body is actually constructed of minerals. If you didn't have minerals in your body, you wouldn't have a body.
Really?
And yeah,
which,
they are
which
so
minerals
fundamental
do we have?
Well, there are actually 32 trace elements that are nutritionally viable for the body or present in the body, and more than that, that are present, that are coming from pollutants from our environment.
Oh, well, we don't want those, though.
Well, no, probably not. But things like calcium, your bones are made up of calcium. You know, if you don't have enough calcium, you get osteoporosis.
And which stones have calcium in them?
Well, calcite is a common example of calcium carbonate. You know, that's calcium, carbon, and oxygen. And so calcite is, you know, a great example of a pure calcium type of stone.
Right. We're made up of crystals.
We are. And, you know, in fact, if you don't have good mineralization in your body and you take vitamins, the vitamins have no way to be transported through your body to your cells for nutrition. So if you are demineralized and you're taking lots of vitamins, you're literally not absorbing those vitamins. So we have to have minerals as a sound foundation.
So how do we get minerals in us? We're not going to eat a stone, right?
Well, you know, we say that, and yet some of the more commercial mineral supplements are pretty much trying to make you do just that.
Yeah, I guess, right? Really, calcium supplements.
Yeah, you need to get your minerals from a bioavailable source, and usually with humans, the minerals need to come through plants first before they come into our bodies. And so we used to get a lot of our minerals from eating plants. And today, because our soils are so depleted of minerals, it's very difficult to do that. But you can trace mineral supplements and other bioavailable mineral supplements that have been run through, you know, plants in order to make them bioavailable to your body. And the more minerals you have in your body in healthy doses, of course, you can overdose on minerals, and some minerals are toxic in large amounts. Mm. So you don't want to just go out there and start cramming minerals down your throat. But if you are well mineralized in healthy levels, you are more able to easily connect with crystals and stones as well.
And So you can connect to them. So then, how does that work now? So how does crystal healing work with the mineral, or I guess the mineral thing?
Yeah, well, one of the foundational pieces of crystal healing is actually based on the physical law of resonance. And most people think of the physical law of resonance as things that vibrate at the same frequency communicate, and then nothing else can communicate with that. And that's an extremely simplistic and not very accurate description of the law of resonance. But essentially, if you think of, you have calcium in your body, you have about 3 pounds of calcium in your body on average. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's your bones, right?
It's your bones, but also tissues. Calcium is also very important in alkalinizing the body and assisting with digestion and metabolism. So when you hold a piece of calcite, when you bring that into your electromagnetic field, which would be the combined light field generated by your heart and your brain and all of your cells, so within about 4 feet of your body, when you bring that crystal into that range, the calcium in the stone and the carbon in the stone and the oxygen in the stone vibrate with the calcium, carbon, and oxygen in your physical body. And once that resonance occurs, information can pass between the stone and the body. And by information, I don't mean, you know, the weekly news report. I mean that there's, you know, inherent information in light that informs us and our nervous system and our brain how to respond to things. And so when we hold a crystal, one of the things that people often feel is a shift in consciousness. They start thinking differently. They start feeling differently on an emotional level. And also the physical level gets affected because the brain is responding as if carbon and more oxygen in your body.
As if there was more of that in your body. So really, I guess, you know, we're always thinking of the, quote, physical interaction, but there's this energetic interaction that happens whether the minerals are outside of us or inside of us.
Yeah, and I think, you know, our science, understand now that energy is physical. You know, in
can
other
you
words,
repeat that again? Because you cut out. You said you think.
Sure. Our science has progressed to a point where we now understand that energy is physical. There is no difference between the physical level and the energetic level. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the exciting things that has come out of some scientific research, is understanding how energy does affect the body, and particularly electromagnetic energy.
I love that the science supports it.
Yeah, and I mean, science is, you know, its own God. It is not a definitive. People think of scientific proof, but even in science, proof is not undeniable fact. Proof is simply support of a theory, and it can change. So I think we need to understand that just because science supports certain aspects, it doesn't mean that other aspects aren't true. But it does give us to understand what we're actually doing.
That's interesting. And we have a couple more minutes before we get a break. But in that time, I wanted to – could you go over some of the myths about crystals that maybe, you know, maybe sort of scientifically based or not?
Yeah, well, I could take up the rest of the show probably with myths. But
pick the best, or pick the most common one, and then we'll take a break and come back to it.
The most common one is that the color of the stone determines its healing properties, and that is so patently false on so many levels, because the color, as we already looked at, with the electromagnetic spectrum being so vast and the visible spectrum being so tiny, color is really insignificant. What color does tell us about a stone is its chemical composition, which is much more important and much more relevant to its healing properties than just the fact that it's pink, so you're supposed to put it on your heart. That is a color by numbers, thank goodness, growing out of
color by numbers.
Crystal healing.
So the color is not that it's that you want to throw the... The color has something to do with it, but not as much as we think, or has nothing to do with it at all.
Well, we've confused color healing with crystal healing. Uh-huh. And color healing is a viable technique, but color healing is most effective when it is done using colored light that is aimed into the body, mm-hmm. Whereas crystal healing is using a colored object. Now, the reason a crystal is that color is because it is absorbing every other color in the spectrum and rejecting the one that comes back and hits you in the face. So if you see a red stone, you think that resonates with the color red, but in fact it doesn't, and that's why you're seeing the red.
And that's the difference between a light projecting that color, which is actually sending that color to you, as opposed to an object reflect, which is the science, right? It's reflecting,
exactly.
As you said, it's absorbing everything else and reflecting. So therefore, there's more to it than just color with crystals. We're gonna go to a break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk more to Naisha and where you can find out how to connect with her and get some of her training.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Imagine receiving healing, vibration-raising energy as you listen to the radio. Energy that flows effortlessly to you. Imagine exploring all things metaphysical, sharing in an ongoing adventure. Join me, Karen Smoot, along with my co-hosts Lisa Victorson and Wendy Weber for Immersion into Source, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Om Radio.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the Internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Greetings, fellow soul travelers. This is Dr. Amelia Kemp with Om Times Radio. If you've been stressed mentally or emotionally, then join me on Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the From Psychotherapy to Sacred Therapy show, where you'll learn you're not sick, you're sacred. And by aligning with the soul, is what makes you whole.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
And we're back. This is Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio. And we're here talking about crystals, my favorite subject, the healing power of crystals and gemstones. They're great for healing and looking at, and not just jewelry. So we are at our half-hour mark, and I wanted to go over some of the ways that you can connect with Naisha. She's an awesome, awesome expert and teacher on the subjects of the healing power of crystals and minerals and vibrational medicine. So Naisha, you can be reached at the Crystallis Institute. So that's her website is crystallisinstitute.com, and that's spelled C-R-Y-S-T-A-L-I-S Institute.com, all one word. And she provides personal readings and consultations and certification in crystal resonance therapy and the Primus Activation Healing Technique, and Becoming the Human Crystal. And they are amazing, amazing programs. You'll learn so, so much more than you would ever dream of in terms of using crystals and using these healing techniques to do just amazing things for people. Naisha, do you have anything else that you'd like to share with us in terms of what you offer for people?
Well, I am rolling out some online self-paced downloadable courses. I do not certify in healing techniques by downloaded courses, but there will be some informational courses to allow you to kind of dip your toe into some of those subjects like the foundations of understanding, and also things like realigning yourself with natural time in order to deal with stress for personal healing and empowerment. So those will be coming up shortly as well.
Oh, sounds awesome. Great. And it's great that you're in a wonderful place like Sedona. So are you going to be doing programs in Sedona?
Yeah, definitely. I have actually a Primus activation here. Weekend coming up October 17th and 18th here, and then also we'll be scheduling more for next year. And what I really do here is my personal practice with people, either healing retreats or just individual sessions as well.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I can imagine doing that kind of training in a place like Sedona would be just like mind-blowing. I think just awesome. So
it does make a difference.
I bet it does. Well, I'd like to do I'd like to do some announcements here. I'm going to be speaking as a keynote speaker at the Body Mind Spirit Expo in Denver. That's coming up this weekend, actually. So if you're in Denver or nearby and you're going to the Body Mind Spirit Expo this Saturday, I'll be speaking on the 10 Key Secrets to Intuition at 1 p.m. So come on over and say hello. I'd love to see you and meet some people out in Colorado. I also have my Developing Your Intuition Level 1 course. It's coming up. The in-person class is coming up November 7th and 8th. It's a one-weekend course where you learn how to develop your intuition from scratch, and you learn how to make your intuition happen when you want, on what you want, and get a lot of detailed information. It's a fun and amazing experience for like-minded people. You get to do a lot of intuition exercises that really get you from, you know, thinking that once in a while you might have an intuitive pop, at getting it all the time and getting information about answers to questions about your life and where you should be going and relationships and career. It's really, really, it's a great, great course to get your intuition honed so that you can use it when you want and all the time. And that's going to be in Tarrytown, New York. Again, that's November 7th and 8th on the weekend. And you can go to intuitiononly.com to find out more about that. If you are not able to come, you can also take the course online. And there it's the exactly the same course, but you can do it anywhere and that you are at, if you have a smartphone or if you have a tablet or a computer, it's with you wherever you are, and you have it for life, and you can access to it 24/7. And if you're interested in that, you can go to LisaKIntuition.com, and you'll find out information about that. So there are two websites. I know I'm going to give you a lot, but those go right to those courses. The online course, LisaKIntuition.com, and that's L-I-S-A-K, intuition.com, and find out about the online course. And in November, I have a book that's coming out. Yay! It's finally coming out. It's called Grow Your Spiritual Business, and I co-authored it with Cindy Griffith. And it's a great book. It's fun. So if you're interested in starting your own spiritual business, this is the primer. This is the ABC, the step-by-step way to get yourself up and going from scratch. You can learn more at growyourspiritualbusinessbook.com. So there you have it. And, oh, and you can get me, here's another website. I hope you're all writing this down. LMK88.com, that's me. Lisa MK, LMK88.com. So let's get back to our guest today. Naisha, we were talking about crystals and common myths. And, you know, I know we could talk a lot about that, but I think what I loved about your course was that, and being a science person, I loved that there was so much science basis to it, and it all made sense. It made sense on many, many levels. And I also found, even experientially going through your meditations and working with the crystals, that I could actually have those experiences, that connecting with the crystals and knowing what the energy feels like and the differences between them. It was absolutely phenomenal for me. So, and you cleared up a lot of myths for me about crystals. I know we talked about color. Are there any other myths that out there that you could share with us to help people see the truth?
Yeah, well, one of the things that is pretty common and popular out there right now is this idea that you can just buy a crystal, stick it in your pocket, and it's going to fix you. That is not the way that crystals work, and is not the way that they should work. You know, truly, if you are committed to spiritual growth and understanding yourself more deeply, the first thing that you have to do to really work with stones is to work with them, not just tuck them in your pocket or your pillowcase and expect that they're going to change your life. And by working with them, I specifically mean meditating with them, because in meditation, you are focusing your brain on that informational interchange in the resonant field between the stone and your body. And you will become much more self-aware about what is blocked, where the stone is working for you. You know, and this is a really important piece, is actually engaging the stone. And a lot of people get disheartened because they read in some book somewhere that the stone's going to, you know, make them see angels and communicate with their dead auntie and, you know.
So how would you meditate with a crystal? Can you just hold a crystal and do your regular meditation, or is there a special thing?
Yeah, hold a crystal and meditate, essentially.
Really?
I mean, the highest form of meditation, of course, is mindful meditation, which is Zen meditation or turning off thought, but not everybody can get there initially. Of course, a lot of people say, well, I can't meditate because my mind's too busy. Well, you're supposed to train yourself to get to where your mind isn't too busy. But in order to get there, you can do a guided meditation. One of the simplest ones that I tell people to do is a crystal heart resonance meditation. And that is essentially where you hold the stone in your left hand, and it does not matter if you're right or left-handed. You hold it in your left hand because the left side of your body is innervated to the right side of your brain, which is more capable of processing the type of information you're going to receive.
That's where your intuition is.
Yes. So you hold the stone in your left hand if it has a termination, meaning if it has a naturally pointy end, point that.
If it has a point, I'm sorry,
heart.
You broke up a little bit. So if the crystal has a point, a terminated point at the end,
your arm toward your heart. Okay. And basically just go through your meditative process of getting still, and then imagine that you're breathing the energy of the stone up your arm into your physical heart. And the reason that is important is because your physical heart is actually your primary electromagnetic processor. So it is the first part of your entire body and energy field that receives light information and processes it. It then sends that information through the nervous system up to the brain for further processing and response. So connecting with the energy of the stone through your physical heart is much more powerful than sticking it onto your third eye.
So when you're meditating, you have the the stone, the crystal is now in your left hand, and you're pointing the terminated or the pointy point part of the crystal up towards your heart.
Correct. And then you're imagining that you're breathing the energy mm-hmm. from the stone up your arm and into your heart.
Yes.
And then as you exhale, radiate that energy from your heart throughout your entire body and energy field. And just do that simple process, always returning your attention to your breath, receiving the energy of the stone into your heart as you inhale, and radiating the energy of the stone mm-hmm. throughout your energy field.
Can you do that with a stone that doesn't have a point?
Yes, you can. The reason that you want a point if it does have a point is because crystals are directional. They carry energy in a certain direction. But you could use a tumbled stone, which is still going to be directional. Just because they've tumbled it and chipped off all the points doesn't mean it doesn't have an internal structure that is mm-hmm. still directional. It does. This is why spheres do not emit energy in all directions, despite what some people will tell you. It still has an internal structure. So you can use a tumbled stone. You just won't know what direction that energy is going, but that's fine. For the purposes of this meditation, I wouldn't get too concerned with that.
Okay, and so then you're still imagining or you're directing that energy into your heart from mm-hmm. crystal. So yeah. What's the best way for if somebody wants to start, you know, and they're just getting into crystals, what's the best way to begin? How would they choose a crystal, start working with them? What's the best way to begin? Oh, now I'm not hearing anything.
Someone who has. Oops. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear anything after my question.
Or did I break up again?
Yeah, you disappeared. So.
Yeah. So basically, I said the best way to begin is to put away all of your crystal books, and that includes mine. So if you have the Book of Stones, put it nicely on a shelf, because those books are simply the experience of the author. And believe me, I know lots of people who have written crystal books. You're better off choosing the stones vibrationally, using your own nervous system as the sensor, rather than going to a book and looking up, you know, this is my problem, what stone do I need? That prescriptive approach is part of the dying aspect of
crystal. Okay, so that's the first step, because we're going to go to break in 2 seconds. So the first step is to be attracted to the stone and take that one, put your books away.
Yeah.
There you go. First step, step number one. When we come back with Naisha Asayan, we're going to go on to the next few steps for those of you who are just starting with your crystals.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors. Connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on OM Times Radio.
And we're back. I'm Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio, and we're talking about the healing power of crystals and gemstones. And we're here with Naisha Asayan, who is an expert in this. And we were talking about if you're just starting out with your crystals and you want to know what are the first steps to take into working with them. And the first step we went over, which is when you see a crystal that you're attracted to, that's probably the best one to start with, and to put away all your crystal books, any books that you have. So what's the next step?
Well, the next step, if you're going to choose a crystal around a specific issue in your life, is to actually, you know, first of all, put yourself in a position where you have lots of crystals to choose from, and this is obviously at a show or at a store. Get emotionally resonant with the issue that you are thinking about, even if it's not a pleasant one. So if you had a fight with your spouse and you want something to heal your relationship, you need to feel what you felt like when the problem arose. And the reason that is important is because we need to identify what emotional pattern the stone is actually going to be addressing. So feel what it feels like to be in that place. If you're having problems with money, feel what it feels like to be in that place, you know, and then choose the stone that draws your attention. And what's important to remember is that there are three different, well, maybe four, but three primary intuitive channels, and they are the visual, which is where things you see things, the auditory, where you hear things, and the kinesthetic, where you feel things. And it's important to understand what channel you receive information on. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult to choose your stone. So if you're kinesthetic, you're going to want to touch stones and see which one feels right. If you're auditory, you might put your hands on the stones and then hear a signal when the right stone is touched. If you're visual, you might be called to a stone because it's sparkling at you or, you know, kind of catching your attention. Mm-hmm. Whatever that stone is, you would then take that stone, assume that is the correct stone to use for that issue that you're vibrating with, take it home and clear it. And the easiest and best way to clear it is sound vibration.
Okay, hang on a second. This is great stuff, I'm taking notes. I want to make sure that people are getting this clearly. So the first thing is you want to feel the problem. So when you say, all right, if you have a money issue, as you mentioned, what does it mean to feel the problem? Would you say, you know, have someone say, think about it and all the feelings that come up around that problem? Is that what you mean?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so that's good. So maybe you don't have enough money and you're worried and you're nervous and you're tense when you think about money. So that's what you would be doing when you're getting ready to choose a stone.
Yeah, allow
correct?
Yourself to do
allow
that.
Yourself yep. to do that. And then so you're, you know, in a crystal store or a place where they've got stones and you're feeling now that problem that you want to solve. And then you use your intuition to pick a stone that attracts you. And you were talking about the different ways that each of us has maybe the strongest way that we are intuitively inclined. So maybe, but not all of us understand maybe what we're best at. So I think you were saying that you're probably going to use some a mode, whether it's feeling or seeing, or maybe even hearing that that would be a way that you're attracted to things in general. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Right.
And a shortcut that you can use even is to just pick up stones and put them over your physical heart. And you will know when you've picked the right one.
You know, sometimes I picked up a stone and I have to put it back down because it just it makes me feel icky.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be not a stone for me, right?
Yeah. Well, yes and no.
Yes and no. Oh, yes. That's a good... What do you mean by no?
Feel good. So sometimes, you know, when you pick up a stone and you have difficult emotions that arise, it's not because the stone's carrying negative energy. It's because it's hitting that stuff within you that needs healing, and further work with that stone might actually be important. But you'll know the difference usually. You know, if you're already feeling the issue that you're trying to heal and you pick up a stone and put it on your heart, you'll just know, you'll have an affirmed feeling. It's
right.
not that you'll feel better emotionally or that you'll feel better physically. It's that you'll have an affirmative feeling that that is the correct stone.
Yeah, there's and when I work with people on intuition, I'll say, you know, you just ask that question, you know, is this one for me? And then see what pops up, what Naisha was saying is that the feelings, what pops in your mind's eye and so on. And that's how you know, because sometimes it's like, well, how do I know? Well, you know, you'll have an inclination is what we're talking about. So then you pick the stone and the next step you said was to clear it. And that's when I interrupted you. So how do you clear the stone?
The best and most effective way to clear a stone is with sound vibration. And you can use something like tuning forks or a drum or tingsha bells or a gong or a Tibetan bowl, something that creates a fairly loud, sustained, strong vibration. I wouldn't recommend sticking it in front of your speakers and blasting AC/DC, but you could do that too if you really wanted to. But the sound vibration actually penetrates the stone and moves the internal base units and helps them to reset so that they're clear.
That's interesting.
So sound is the most effective.
Is the most effective, even more so than sea salt?
Absolutely.
Because a lot of people, maybe that's another myth. Because that's, you know, go soak your stone in salt. Sea salt water, or put it in a bunch of sea salt. So does that work at all? The salt?
Well,
not as good.
Let's just say that sound is the most effective way. So, there are a lot of different ways.
Yeah,
sound is easy. It's very fast,
and
as
it's
well.
Not messy. Because I used to do the salt thing. It's like, all right, I got to get a bowl, put the water in it, get the sea salt, and melt, you know, dissolve and put the stone. And then now I've got wet stones.
And some stones dissolve in water.
Oh,
and
some
stones are very soft and can be scratched.
So it's easy. So sound is good. Okay, we've cleared the stones. Then what?
Then you'll use that meditative process, and really you can use any meditation that you normally use that is a generic meditation. And by that I mean you're not going to, you know, meditation to lose weight to work with your stones necessarily. You want to have a normal meditation that you do with or without stones, and it can be a guided meditation. It can just be one for strengthening your energy field. It can be one for clearing your chakras. It can be, you know, any type of general developmental type of meditation, or as I said before, mindful meditation, which is really
I've
the highest
form. I've got a chakra clearing meditation that people can use out there. But do you have one that maybe people could use that they could try for free?
I do. It is not posted anywhere obvious. So if you want a copy of a free meditation from me, just go ahead and email. And the best email to use is naisha@naisha.com. And that's just naisha@naisha.com.
naisha@naisha.com. So email Naisha and she'll send you a link to a free meditation you can use with your crystal. So you're meditating with a crystal and?
And just be aware of what comes up. With a stone, it is best to be receptive in that meditation, meaning you're listening to the stone and what the stone is showing you. And it shows you things by a combination of experiences. You may have a physical experience of sharp pains in your body in certain areas, or tingling sensations, or feeling nauseated, or feeling short of breath. You know, so there might be physical pieces to that. The emotional pieces, you may have emotions that arise that don't seem connected to anything in particular. You may have memories that arise that don't seem connected to anything, obvious. These are all ways that this own references in your brain, in your brain's storage cabinet, what that vibration of the stone is hitting in your own energy field and body. And then make note of those things. You know, you want to develop your own book of stones. You want to develop your own journal of stone experiences so that you can come back to that again and again and learn from it. As you work with the stone more and more, you will find it becoming less powerful for you. And oftentimes this is where people say the stone stopped working.
Well, it didn't. When you mean less powerful, does that mean that the experiences are less extreme? Or
yes, exactly. Mm. So oftentimes people will buy a stone and just be bowled over, you know, this is amazing energy.
And after
they work with it for a while, they stop getting that experience and they think, oh, the stone's done, you know, or it's not working.
It's a little disappointing. It's like, cause it's so exciting. You know, you get the buzzes and you get the, you know, you get the images and then the experiences and then it goes away.
Well, and this is one of the problems with our current addiction to spiritual fireworks. Spiritual growth is not about the fireworks. Spiritual growth is about the growth.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I'm an energy junkie, so I'm always looking for it.
Yeah, Well, we don't want to use stones like drugs. You know, we want to use them as teachers. And once we've become acclimated to a stone's energy, we will feel it less intensely because we don't have to shift our energy as far to meet its energy in resonance. And because we don't have as big of a shift, we don't have as much of a change in our experience around that stone. The stone's energy hasn't changed. It is still absolutely working with you. It's just that you are actually more attuned to its energy and so feeling it less intensely. So another way to look at that is you will feel stones most strongly that are you are actually least in resonance with, because it means that you've had to shift a long way to meet its energy.
So that's it. So we've gone through those steps, right? You got to feel your problem, be attracted to a particular stone, you clear it, meditate with it, and then journal, right?
Yeah, and meditate with it consistently. It's not a one-time thing. You know, you need, just like you need to take a medication over a period of time to get results, you need to work with a single stone over a period of time in order to really understand what it is doing to and for you.
Well, that was a great prescription. The great first steps that I think it's something people can take away. And we're actually at the end of our show. So this is like really awesome, Naisha. Thank you so much for being here with us.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, please come back. I actually have more questions for you.
Hi.
Really, really cool things. So you can get Naisha at thecrystallisinstitute.com or email her at naisha@naisha.com, and she'll send you a free meditation that you can do with your crystal. So I'm Lisa Kay, and you've been listening to Between Heaven and Earth, Conscious Living for Your Soul. Tune in next time right here on Om Times Radio. Angel blessings to everyone. We'll see you next time.